Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Tempo, the official podcast of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. As we enter election season, we're thrilled to bring you a special series featuring the 2025 candidates for the Alumni Association Board of Directors. Throughout the month of April, we'll be sitting down with the candidates to hear about their vision for the Alumni Association, their experiences as brothers of Kappa Kappa Psi, and how they plan to foster great engagement and connection among alumni. Each candidate will have 15 to 20 minutes of questions and discussion, so be sure to stick around for the full episode. Each episode will feature 3 to 4 candidates. I'm your host for this series, Sav, chair of the Archives and History Subcommittee and host of The Tempo. These interviews will give you a chance to hear directly from the candidates before you cast your vote in the upcoming election. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to The Tempo so you don't miss a single episode. Elections for the AABOD will take place on May 1st, 2025, and in order to participate, you'll need to renew your membership by April 25th, 2025. Be sure to check your email and visit the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association website for all the official election details. Let's get started. All right, let's welcome our first candidate for this episode, Michael Blander from the Iota Delta chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Welcome, Michael. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be here. I'm Michael Blander. I'm a life member of the Iota Delta chapter at Towson University. I'm an old guy. I graduated in 99, became a life member in 1999. And I'm excited to still be able to participate and serve the fraternity.
Awesome. And could you take a few minutes to share a little bit about your platform and the key goals that define your candidacy?
Yeah, glad to. I'm running to be the finance chair again for the Alumni Association Board of Directors. I currently am serving as that position, and I previously served in that position. It's not one of those flashy positions. It's more of, I look at it as, you know, back of the house or the foundation, you know, dealing with the foundation of the organization. My job is to make sure that financial reporting is accurate, that we have the resources we need to fund the programs that we're working toward and that are wanted by our membership and the other programs of the fraternity, giving that financial stability. So we've had some difficulties over this past biennium with issues at headquarters, but information is now coming in. It appears accurate. We are verifying things. I hope to have that accurate information to present to everybody at National Convention. And moving forward is to continue to improve that financial reporting, make sure that we are being able to share that information with the membership on a more regular basis. I'm trying to work with headquarters to get our financial reporting more granular, breaking down the information so we can better track where our money's going, where the spending is. Also, part of that is finding new ways to increase revenues. We are, you know, we've come out with our new logos. We're in the process of developing new merchandise to sell. Some of that you may have already seen at district convention, and we plan to have a lot more at national convention. You know, getting our membership engaged to creating their financial legacy with the fraternity, their legacy with the fraternity, and doing that is being able to financially help support long-term the fraternity to make sure that it's around for another 100 years. But it's talking to the members that are donating, talking to others that are interested in contributing and how they can best contribute and support the Alumni Association and the fraternity long-term.
Awesome. Thank you. So you mentioned you're interested in the finance role. Do the offices of chair or vice chair interest you at all?
Absolutely. I've had the opportunity to be on the board now for almost 4 years. I do like where the association is going, and I want to continue to see that happen, and we continue to move forward and get stronger. Yeah, I'd be glad to serve in any role. Chair and vice chair do interest me. Being the finance director currently and not knowing the makeup of the next board, I believe I can handle both those tasks together. As finance chair, I was supporting a lot of the other directors and anything that they needed also. As my activities didn't always require as much time at given moments. So, yeah, it definitely interests me. I would love that opportunity. If not, I will serve the board in any way that they need me to.
Great. You talked a little bit about some of your goals. So if you had to pick one of your goals, how would you maybe measure or track the success of that goal over the biennium?
Yeah, I mean, to measure my goals, the biggest thing is revenues. And the way you can see that is just looking at the balance sheet and income statement every month and seeing that those numbers are going up. When those numbers go up, we can do more. We can provide more programs, more activities, more grants, matching grants, professional development grants. We can continue to make donations back to the fraternity and its programs, such as the donations to the general fund, the NIB, the upcoming NIB jazz band, you know, some of the ritual grants. We can help support that. I would love to see it through new membership and fundraising, but I think the easiest way and the best way to increase revenues long-term and improve the financial stability of the association is through the giving program. That's where, you know, actives and alums can, you know, start their legacy, creating their legacy in the fraternity, which is small donation, as simple as $10 a month, up to $250 a month, making a contribution. And for that, you even earn life membership credits, where you can give a life membership away periodically to a deserving brother, and be recognized for that. And you know, as alums, as we get older, our financial pictures do change. Hopefully, we are in a position where we can give more and do more, and hopefully that we're willing to do more. Alums are willing to do that and support the fraternity and make sure that we're around for another 100 years.
Absolutely. Yes. okay. My next question for you is, can you tell us about a successful program or initiative that you led that was either fraternity related or within your professional career and how you determined its effectiveness?
I've done a number of things being involved with the Alumni Association over the last couple of years, a lot of small things. Again, being finance, it's not a lot of big, rosy projects. But we did several years ago change the contribution levels to the giving program. So there are more tiers. We established the $10 tier. We've been working on increasing the benefits of joining. We've decided to have bricks placed at headquarters for those that have given more than 10 life memberships this year. First time we have two bricks being placed at headquarters for people that have given numerous life memberships. Now we're starting to give back to the fraternity more. We made a $10,000 donation to the general fund this year. We did budget for that last year, but we were able to do that now because the revenues have been increasing. You know, there's been other, so it's really easy to see that the benefits of doing those things, and we're trying to come up with more ideas. More ways, more benefits for being a member of the giving program. But on the personal side too, I'm an Eagle Scout. So, you know, being an Eagle Scout, I had to come up with a major project and take it from concept to, putting it on paper, presenting it, getting permission to do it, and then actually getting people to volunteer their time, get donations for materials and supplies, and then complete that project. So, you know, I do have success in taking an idea and bringing it to fruition and completion over my fraternity lifespan and personal lifespan.
Awesome. All right. We're going to switch gears a little bit, and I have a scenario for you. Imagine you were talking to an alumni brother who's not actively engaged with the fraternity in any way at this time. What would you suggest to them as the best reason to join the Alumni Association? How would you maybe articulate the benefits, both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially as alumni?
Sure. It all starts with a question. Why did they join this organization in the first place? We joined this organization primarily because we wanted to help support the bands. And honestly, we all took an oath, and that oath doesn't end at graduation. So, I mean, I would question them, again, a better understanding of why they joined, and then try to figure out why they're no longer active and participating. And then I would, yeah, absolutely tell them to get involved with the Alumni Association and say, this is your opportunity to continue to give back, support the organization, and, you know, stay, keep your foot, all intents and purposes, keep your foot in the door and know what's going on. So, yeah, and then at that point, you know, you talk to them about making donations and contributions to either a specific project, a specific fund. As you get to know them better, you talk about, you know, what would they like to see in the from the association and from the fraternity moving forward. And that can also open up conversations with, great, you know, make a donation or join the giving program and let them know what the benefits are of the giving program and also some of the general benefits of being part of the Alumni Association, where if you want to get more active, you can be a member of national committees. You can attend district and national conventions as a member of the Alumni Association. And if you get involved with events, you're protected, you know, with the insurance coverage at that, you know, because you are involved with activities of the fraternity. It really, it comes down to, you know, understanding what people want, why they got involved, and then why they also have stepped away, and let them know that, hey, you're always welcome back. And, you know, the Alumni Association, I know the conversation of what I get out of the Alumni Association is always brought up. It's what you want out of it. You know, you may not have a lot of tangible, you know, things handed to you saying that you're a member, you know, you get to go to these activities. You get the few going to these activities. Some people need more of that tangible stuff, but really it's just wanting to continue long term. It's wanting to continue to support things that are important to you. And that's the college band.
Absolutely. All right, Michael, my last question for you is about Dr. Rohr's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium, which is the AEA way. He's got 5 main points of continuing the KKSI journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to all of the work that we do. In total, his vision is about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. So my question is, how would you help support Dr. Rohr's vision as an Alumni Association director?
In any way that he asks specifically, but just hearing his vision and what he wants to accomplish, it's continuing to expand that journey, making sure that those that are graduating still feel welcome, that still want to participate, those that have stepped away, try and get them re-engaged. It's continuing to look at what alumni do, you know, support the organization. So yes, as we've talked about, some of it's financial, some of it is just by participation in national committees and leadership positions, just making sure that, hey, you've taken this oath. It's important that you've taken this oath and that, you know, once a brother, always a brother, feeling welcome and that you can continue to contribute once you graduate.
Absolutely. That is all of my main questions that I had for you. If anyone wants to reach out to you or connect with you, how can they do that? Where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on Facebook. Also, my email is michael@kksi.org. Feel free to email me. If you'd rather talk in person, let me know. I'd be glad to give you my number and we can talk in person and I can answer any questions that you have. You know, I graduated in 99. I've been part of this organization now almost, and I was initiated in 95. So just about 30 years. It's still important to me. And I hope that all the alumni listen to these podcasts, hear from, you know, the other candidates, make good decisions on who we want to see continue to represent our organization, and you know, continue to be engaged and continue to support the fraternity. So I'd be glad to talk to you about any of that. Any questions you have, yeah, please reach out to me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Michael, again, for joining me today. I really, really appreciate it. And it has been awesome getting to talk to you. Let's welcome our next candidate, Dionisio Dino Cardenas from the Alpha Psi chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Dino, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi. Like Seth said, my name is Dionisio Cardenas. You guys most know me as Dino. I am a spring 2013 membership candidate from the Delta Omicron class. I later became a life member after graduation. During my active time, I served as ritual officer, historian, vice president membership, and I served one term as the member at large of the Southwest District between 2017 and 2018. I think the question that most people ask me whenever they meet me is like, where did you start your communications portion of Kappa Kappa Psi? That will begin when I was put into the communications team under the direction of Jessica Lee. At the time, there was actually applications, so you actually had to turn in an application. It wasn't like, oh, hey, you just signed this form and like they put you somewhere. It was like a literal like turn in your resume and like where are you good at, whatever. So like that's where my communications world started. My two main focuses there was to make sure the Instagram was running, and to build campaigns for like our brothers to more engage more through our social media. At that point, I did what was called the Trivia Tuesdays, as well as the Instagram takeovers. So if you wonder where that came from, yours truly started that. That next biennium, I was appointed chair of that same committee. That was under the leadership of Bong Ko. That was 2019-2021. And then COVID hit. So like, imagine leading a committee during COVID. It was a crazy time, to say the least. But I enjoyed it thoroughly. I was glad that we got to actually have national convention in person in 2021 in Grand Rapids, and that's where I finally got to meet my committee because we had been doing conventions through Zoom. So like, it was just a crazy time. At that same point, I decided to apply for the Southwest District Alumni Association. I did get elected. I served two terms there as their communications director. And then after those two terms, I had this like weird thought, hey, maybe I can do AAPOD. And now we're here. I'm the current communications director of Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. As well, I serve in other committees. I serve as the advisor of the communications committee of Kappa Kappa Psi. I serve as an advisor of the communications committee of Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. And I'm also a member of the Joint Facilities Advisory Team for Tau Beta Sigma. On my professional life, I'm the assistant mariachi technician and low brass technician for the Mighty Longhorn Band in Laredo, Texas. I also teach low brass lessons on the side, so shout out to all my low brass brothers. And then lastly, fun stuff usually that people say. I like watching reality shows, so you can find me watching The Traitors, Survivor, Big Brother. I am a Houston Astros fan, so if you hate the Astros, I'm sorry, but we can talk some baseball. And then I have a cat. You guys probably, you're not gonna see him, but Sav can. He's running around. His name is Gus. So that's about me. Thank you for having me, Sav. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yes, thank you for joining me today. Can you take a few minutes to share your platform and the key goals that define your candidacy?
Okay, so my platform is written for two positions, but mainly I selected to run for, currently it's called the vice chair slash membership director. I do believe with the guidance of whoever ends up being the chairperson of KKSIAA, I would love to move that name to vice chair for membership. So that's what my main position is called. My platform is written in three words, basically, engagement, growth, and sustainability. I think the main question that every brother has is like how to engage our members so they can continue coming back. Currently talking numbers, in the second year of this biennium, our numbers have been like super high. They've been super high, but that always happens whenever we have a national convention happening. which it happens. We get it. But how can we keep those members year round? Like, let them renew and stuff. One thing that we're really working into doing is with our Opus program, we are trying to do those renewal systems to automatically be done. Yes, you'll get an email the month before, but just to make sure that people forget to renew their stuff, for sure. If I wasn't in AABOD, I probably would not renew because I'm busy. So, like, I forget. So we're pushing forward to renew those things automatically. Yes, again, you'll get that email to make sure that you're still okay to renew it, but it'll renew automatically. With growth on the organization, I feel like, yes, we have our town halls, our quarter note forums, but how else can we get that feedback from our membership? One of the programs that we're starting this year online with President Ko's vision, we're going to move forward with the Crown Pearl goals. Each member and or LAA will have the opportunity to participate in this program. There will be 15 monthly goals and 3 different categories. Those categories can vary from like re-engaging and reconnecting, or celebrating musicianship and brotherhood, or even just like strive for 5 goals. Some examples are like attending a fireside chat or registering to go to convention, either a district or national convention, so you can be there and get informed. And then there's the more like locally stuff where it's like offer to speak for your chapter, for a meeting on your career path. Like, this is what I do, especially with our graduating seniors looking to go into that next transition of Cap Kappa Psi. Some other initiatives that I really want to do is the incentives for our members. I know TBSAA does this. It includes sending personalized letters to our members who renew, especially those who pay the $75 tier, and send out like a gift. They currently do magnets of their logo. So like, it's a little thing that you get, but like, you get a gift from signing up, and then move it around through the years, maybe a pin or maybe a like little thing that you can put on your backpack or something. But every time you renew, you'll get like a little gift going on. And then offering those social and networking events. Currently we have the New Year New Bros, the Brothers at the Ballpark. We are currently working on 2 major things. We are pushing the Cap Cap Say AA Day. Yours truly in this chat, the Archives and History Committee is working on that proposal to establish the official Cap Cap Say Alumni Association Day. More information coming soon, but probably we'll be at like national convention so everybody can be at once and we can vote together. And then next year's AABOD will be working on the 20th anniversary of Cap Cap Say. That'll be in the national convention of 2027. So there's probably going to be a like 20th anniversary committee. So if you're interested in that, please look out for that. And then lastly, just to round this up, I think it's important to gear to our graduating seniors. When you graduate, basically you just stop doing KKSI because you think that's the end of it. The Cap Cap Psi Alumni Association is here for you. And it starts with just encouraging brothers to turn in their graduating senior form on time. You have 30 days after graduation. You can do it 30 days before graduation if you know that when the graduation is happening. We just want our brothers to have that home and where we can continue informing our graduating brothers, even if it's just an email. But yeah, my platform is there. There's also a section on awards director. Very, very vague, but I'm mostly aiming for that membership director, vice chair for membership.
Awesome. You told us a little bit about some of your goals. How would you track or measure the success of maybe one of those goals?
For those who know me, who know Dino, you know that I am big. Like, I always want to make sure that everything's at like 101 things to do kind of thing. I think to track my success and hold myself accountable, I believe that starting our quarterly reports early is essential. I want to track every project, every email, every increase in membership will, that will establish the position to higher standards. Additionally, with this, I believe that incoming president Nick War is a stats geek. So I think that keeping the statistics of all our numbers will be essential for the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association, not only to continue promoting our growth, but to just hold each other accountable, including myself in those positions. I would love to see committees as well to do quarterly reports. How this would work is a little like, let me just explain it real quick. Each committee, each quarter represents 6 months. The mid-biennium report will be provided at the end of quarter two, and that will be the report of your full year, as well as an end of the biennium report, which is at the end of quarter four, with a full assessment of the 2 years stuff that each committee did. So to make sure that everybody is held accountable, myself accountable, and at the end of the year, we can have this big old minutes from National Convention with all the committees doing their work and make sure that we are successful in this.
Perfect. The next question that I've got for you is, can you tell us about a successful program or initiative that you led that was fraternity related or in your professional career, and how you determined its effectiveness?
Successful program. Yeah. I'm gonna, and people are gonna hate me for this, but I'm gonna take a moment to brag about the communications committee of KKSIAA. Our goal was simple. It was to improve how we share information and connect with members. That's all we wanted to do. From the start, my vision of this committee was communicate and build. That's what I wanted to do. Communicate and build. I wanted to make sure that we are communicating all our programs, all our minutes, all our everything, but also I wanted to develop our future leaders. To talk about the success of this committee, I will bring like maybe two or three. We revamped the Encore with Mia Harvey. She basically took the feedback we got last biennium about, hey, this is too wordy. This is this going on. So we made it less wordy. We put links, we put graphics. People were attracted to that section and it made our alumni happier. And to this day, we still have over 50% of people who get this email to click on our links or just open the email to make sure that they're getting informed. And 50% is a lot because we have over 1,000 alumni who are in our Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. Another instance is bringing history to the table with SAV. SAV and the Archives History Committee research of the AABOD members, and then we revamp our page saying, hey, like these are our past AABOD members. We started with the history of Kappa Kappa Psi. We're solidifying a date to have that Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association date. And then moving forward with one of our other biggest accomplishment is the tempo. This podcast that you're hearing is only a couple of months in. Like we didn't think about this at the beginning of the biennium. This is at the middle of the biennium. We're like, hey, let's do this. And it took that long because I wanted to make sure that the voices that you guys were hearing were the exact voices that you guys were going to enjoy. So while today you're going to hear just Sav, I just want to give a shout out to Mark and Tori because they're also key contributors of the podcast. But the podcast was a huge success. And then to bring this all together, I can't take all full credit, not really. But what I can take credit about is witnessing the incredible work that our brothers are doing. Because at the end of the day, I just tell them that, hey, this is what we're going to plan to do, and they do it. If I'm reelected and given the opportunity to serve as communications director again, I'm gladly continue doing this. But if I don't, I know that this committee is better than what I started at. So I guess this is my success in the sense that I will make sure, well, I know that this committee is better than when I got here.
Absolutely. The Pod Squad loves you. The next question is a little bit of a scenario. Imagine you're talking with an alumni brother who's not actively engaged in the fraternity at any way at this time. What would you suggest to them is the best reason to join the Alumni Association? How would you maybe articulate the benefits, both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially?
Yeah, so, okay. I think this has happened to me before, though. Like, in the past biennium, working with the AABOD, I've had the pleasure of talking to several alumni. I had one instance at TMEA 2024. I was the person representing AABOD, and I had a brother from the 80s come in and talk to us at the booth. Keep in mind that I was born in the 90s. I'm a 93 baby, 93. And he said to me, I used to be in Kappa Kappa Psi. How are things going now? And I was like, what? Like, I used to be in Kappa Kappa Psi? Like, what happened? Like, my first question instantly was like, you used to be? Like, what happened? And he's like, well, I graduated. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I was like, he graduated. That was all he did. At the time, I researched on OMRS to see what, I mean, if he was inactive or alumni or life or whatever. And he was alumni. Like, there was no, like, nothing bad. Like, he just graduated. The crazy part is that just talking to him for 45 minutes, it was him sharing stories with me about the 80s, which let's not talk about the 80s. Respectfully, he had some interesting stories, which great, we can talk off the podcast, but not for the podcast. But we talked about that. We talked about how the organization is doing great. And then I showed him my iPad. I showed him a link to get him to join KKSIAA. Luckily, he had the funds right there and then. He did the form. He paid his stuff. He's now a part of KKSIAA. You see, and that's where just having those conversations go a long way. To end my story, like, how do you bring somebody back? I think telling them about our experience, taking how most of my friends are brothers and sisters of our organizations, even if it's that we're not talking about KKSI, we can talk about Tau Beta Sigma as well. How I got my job as a tech from a KKSI brother. How even if you can't help financially, there's different ways that you can donate your time, whether it's mentoring or serving in a committee or being part of a panelist on a side chat. Like, anything is possible if you just reach out. We're here for you. I guess to wrap this all out, I think what ends this question for me is being a KKSI brother is a lifelong commitment. You just have to find your way to get back into the organization.
Most definitely. All right, I've got one last question for you. This one's a little bit long for me to read. I'm going to throw a lot at you real quick. So Dr. Rohr's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium is the AEA Way, which has five main points of 1, continuing the KKSI journey, 2, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, 3, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, 4, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and 5, bringing a sense of joy to all the work that we do. So in total, this vision is about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. How would you support this vision as an AA director?
Yeah, it starts with making sure that we are all on the same page. I think the communication world, and then I keep on bringing back communication, as long as we are on the same page with Dr. Rohr, I think it's successful to work with his vision. At the end of the day, we are aiding to our alumni, how we can get alumni to continue serving our actives, how to continue our alumni, making sure that they're entering our programs, as well as making sure that those brothers, like I said earlier, that haven't been part of Kappa Kappa Psi for a long time, find a way back. I do feel that working together side by side will be the best way to move forward with Dr. Rohr's vision. I do think that the 20th anniversary will be a big part of that, so we can base off our celebration through his vision. But yeah, I'm excited to work alongside with Dr. Rohr. And the new National Council. But yeah, that's it.
Great. Thank you so much for answering all of our questions. If anyone wants to reach out to you or connect with you, where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me everywhere and anywhere. I'm kidding. Name is Dionisio Dino Cardenas. I have all the social media, so you can find me at me, whatever. If you want to talk about communications, AA communications at KKSI.org. If you just want to email me, you can find about my platform or anything, honestly. Dino at KKSI.org, spelled Dino, Dino. But yeah, add me. Add me on TikTok. No, I'm kidding. No, don't add me on TikTok. It's all mariachi stuff, so don't want to add me on TikTok.
Awesome. Any final thoughts or comments for us at all?
I think my biggest thing is I want to encourage all our brothers to make sure to look through all the platforms. Make sure that you are staying informed. Look at our social medias as well for the National Council and Board of Trustees election. We have, I believe, it's 16 great alumni that are running for those positions as well. So keep them rooting for them. Make sure to tell your chapters to go to National Convention. We are aiming for 150 alumni to attend National Convention. So please, 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 please consider showing up to Lexington, Kentucky. It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna see horses. Not really, but you can see pictures of horses. But yeah, I'm looking forward to see you guys at Lexington.
Awesome. Thank you, Dino, for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. All right. Next, I'd like to welcome our next candidate, Chris Carpenter from the Omicron chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris?
So, my name's Chris Carpenter. I'm a life member of the Omicron chapter of Kappa Kappa Psi at West Virginia University. A little bit of my fraternal history. For the Alumni Association, the past 4 years, I've served on the program's Professional Development Committee. The first 2 years as a member, I led the redesign of our mentorship program to be a more goals-focused program. The last 2 years, I've served as the chair of that program, past Northeast District President. And attended multiple district conventions, been to North Central, Southeast, Northeast, throughout my years as an alum. Professionally, I work as a principal federal program manager for Wiz, which is a leading cloud security company. Primarily, I conduct information system architecture reviews and work through the technical, managerial, and operational compliance requirements for the U.S. federal government.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. Could you take a few minutes to share your platform and some of the key goals that define your candidacy?
Sure. So primarily, my main goal is that I want to professionalize, or I want to formalize the professional affinity groups that we have as a component of the Alumni Association. So many years back, we kind of started some Facebook groups to get alumni together and talk about and share resources relevant to our professions. Formalizing those groups would focus on providing programming that's directly relevant to our brothers' professional interests. Everything from unique volunteer and service opportunities to support for certifications, personal development in their field. Some of the benefits to the association of doing this gives our brothers a year-long, directly relevant and impactful program to participate in. It can interface with our existing programs and support new ones. So, working through our BO talks, fireside chats, participating in the mentorship program directly, and then once established, well down the road, these can provide direct support for expanded professional development programs within the Alumni Association. This is very much a board level initiative, which is the reason that I'm running. This is something that I've had my eye on for a while now. Some of the challenges, like we start to get into the type of structure that we're working with. Is it at the national level? Do we look at geographic concentrations? So, like, I work in tech. If we end up with, 20 brothers nationwide interested in tech, and we have 50 in the Bay Area where there's a real concentration, do we need to build a structure to support that? How do we define a profession? How do we scope? How do we scope who can participate in what? Where do our officers come into play? We'll have to identify strong leaders with a vision for that group's programming. I see my role as a director in providing the guidance, vision, alignment with the association and the fraternity, and really setting up the structure. So this is going to require a focus group from the LAA director, the membership director, operation or outreach, finance. It's going to really require that level of initiative and work from across the association and the committees. The overall plan that I have is within the first year, I want to get a plan of action for the program. After we've identified some key volunteers who really have a vision for what they can do within their profession and the programming that they want to provide, getting that plan of action together within the second year, getting the groundwork laid and getting a constitutional amendment passed in 2027 at the National Convention to formalize them. And then from there, it's executing on the plan, working on expansion, and really driving home and creating a valuable program for our brothers. Some examples of what that might look like. So the two examples that I've been using as I've been going to district conventions this season are like a music education group who's trained to represent the Association of the Fraternity at state conferences. So right now we can only send a few people nationwide to, you know, TMEA and Midwest. If this is a formal group under the corporation for the association, we can have music educators who are able to represent the fraternity, and we can really expand our footprint, both for alumni and for the active fraternity. Technology, just in my field, something that comes to mind is a group that provides websites or databases for student-run or under-resourced band programs. So really finding ways to get our values into our professions and bring our level of expertise, provide constant engagement for our alumni in things that really matter to them, things they've chosen to dedicate their lives to, and really building that story of a lifelong commitment through GAPGAPSI.
Awesome. You've got some great goals. If you could pick one, like how would you measure or track the success of one of your goals possibly?
Yeah, so I've laid out that initial plan with getting the plan of action together within the first year, and within year two, laying the groundwork and passing the constitutional amendment. So those are the high level objectives. Within, you know, there's going to be certain things that we need to get that plan of action together. So I think initially it's largely going to be measured by meeting those milestones. After year two, and I know, you know, we have a thing with the board, whether it's going to be a 4-year or 2-year term, I've set this up so that it can be either. Either this can be I can serve a 2-year term, get it set, run for re-election. If I don't get elected to the board for a subsequent term, the framework is in place for that board from 2027 on to be able to take the reins of it. So that initial success is here's the framework, here are the volunteers, here's the vision. If I would be fortunate enough to either serve a 4-year term or be reelected to see the program through, and the implementation of it through, we would have to work to set metrics with our finance director and with our membership director. We need to set recruitment objectives. You know, so it would really be metrics driven with what the needs of the organization are. Engagement with, you know, let's say that we start with music education and they decide to put on their own bow talk series, which are, for anybody listening who isn't familiar, it's basically TED Talks for brothers. If you have something to contribute, something that you want to talk to, something that you're really passionate about, you can put a 15-minute script together and publish a video with the support of the Alumni Association's Communications Committee. So if our music education group decided they wanted to do bow talks and that was their program, then we would want to set up a measurable objective for them, right? So a lot of it is going to be driven by the vision of the volunteers and the program that they want to develop. But I do think that there are specific association level objectives for the constitutional amendment, for the structure, finance metrics, membership metrics that we can work through.
Chris, could you tell us about a successful program or initiative that you led that was either fraternity related or in your professional career and how you determined its effectiveness?
Sure. So On the fraternity side, I mentioned in my intro that I led the redesign of our mentorship program for the Alumni Association. So we redesigned it to be about goal setting. There's a stereotype of mentorship where it's always an older person and a newer person, or of it as a job search service, right? I'm coming out of college. How do I get a job? How do I get my foot in the door? But what mentorship really is defining a goal that you want to achieve and having someone enable you to achieve that goal. So once we got it redesigned with this biennium, we designed the program's professional development committee into three subcommittees. So Chris Curran leads the mentorship program, and the level of engagement that he has gotten in this first launch of it has been excellent. I think we've seen 5 pairings per semester. So we've had, if I remember correctly, I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but we're in the 15 pairings range. We've set up interviews so that we understand people's learning styles, that we understand how they like to communicate. So we match on styles, we match on what people could really contribute and what they're passionate about to make sure that we have something effective to support. So the participation was a really great way to know that it was successful, to see people offering themselves for the support of their brothers and requesting it and really understanding what the association's here to do, in part, of course. The measure of success operationally has been the program kind of runs itself. Chris Curran has done an excellent job of setting up the pacing of it, setting up the meetings, the check-ins, and the mentorship program runs like melted butter. That's largely down to Chris's expertise and what he brings to the table. We've gotten, as a chair, I've gotten roadblocks out of the way, helped them understand how it fits into convention scheduling, and kind of adapting when we've had a smaller cohort to build the program up and work on promoting it. So
it's amazing. I want to switch gears here a little bit and kind of present you a scenario. Say you're talking with an alumni brother who's not actively engaged with the fraternity in any way at this time. How would you suggest to them, what would you suggest is the best reason to join the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association? How would you maybe articulate the benefits, kind of both tangible and intangible? And how would you promote the culture of giving and our responsibility to keep striving financially as alumni?
I want to start with the giving side. It's to kind of work backwards towards the why the Alumni Association.
Sure.
As we develop in our careers and we build a salary and build our lives, start families, we tend to recognize the role that donors have played in our success. I used to work as a professional for Scouting America as well. And when you're in the fraternity, when you're active, it's not always easy to see just what donors are providing. Whether it's for the general fund, all of the life membership breakdown, when you look in the podium and you see the list of donors and really understanding where that goes, it's one of the benefits of attending conventions, right? You start to see the budget, you see what's coming in from where, and what's really contributing to your experience. So oftentimes, I personally credit my experience as district president with how I developed as a professional. Very directly, I credit that experience. So when I'm talking to someone who's been disengaged, I kind of start by explaining what that money does, and then connecting it to their experience, right? I want to understand the value that they got out of the fraternity, whether they participated as an alum and are since lapsed, if the last time they were here was when they were active. I want to understand that benefit and then help them understand how giving helps build that for other people. We're a service-oriented organization, and we attract service-oriented people. So I think that giving is a foot in the door. If nothing else, giving through the Alumni Association is a purpose. It is a sense of purpose, and it's something that the association can give to you, right, through its donation programs. Participating more directly in the association and in what we offer, I think some of the biggest value there is we're in a much more distributed world these days. And it's easy, we move away from each other, and it's really easy to lose touch. The Alumni Association, the programs that we offer, give you a central place to maintain connections to your values and to people who have shared experiences. You may, it throughout your profession, you may never work with somebody who is in a marching band or anybody who plays an instrument. They may think it's really cool that you did, but that shared experience, all of our, you know, all of our chapters and all of our alumni have different foundational experiences, but there is a shared mind there. A foot in the door for wanting to contribute in a non-financial way, I think our Botox program is an excellent way to do that. And I actually talked with some brothers at Northeast Convention last weekend who are actives now and graduating seniors and were really looking to find a way to stay involved. They had two or three things that they were really passionate about. I think one was physical fitness, another was mental health and how a marching band program has helped that, and how to manage the stress of the fall marching schedule, right? I just said, you've been talking to me about this for 10 minutes. You're right on the sweet spot, right? You're right on the sweet spot for what we want to see in a length of video. That's a really quick and easy way. And it also helps spark conversations because you'll end up with people reaching out to you and asking you questions and commenting on your video. And it's a really quick way to build initial engagement with the association.
Absolutely. All right, I have one last question for you. And this one's a little bit about Dr. Rohrer's vision for the 2025-2027 biennium. It is the AEA Way, which has five main points of continuing the KKSI journey, strengthening the member experience beyond the road to wisdom, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline, moving forward through an aligned goal and purpose, and bringing a sense of joy to all of the work that we do. So in total, this vision is really about elevating the fraternity's brand and the member experience. So my question is, how would you support Dr. Rohrer's vision as an AA director?
So I think my platform supports each tenet of the AA Way, but I want to focus in on two in particular. First, solidifying our engagement and volunteer pipeline. The professional affinity groups at the core of my platform give alumni a way to not only stay engaged with the fraternity, but to do so in a way that encourages continued service. By formalizing them, we can empower our members to represent the fraternity and expand their leadership capabilities and experiences by engaging with and promoting the national vision in the work that they do with our band programs, in their group, with the other components of the fraternity, and with our communities. The second tenet I want to focus on is bringing a sense of joy to the work that we do. My platform focuses on integrating the lifelong fraternity experience with our chosen professions, which many of us have also dedicated our lives to or are looking to do so. Our fraternity gives a sense of purpose, as all values-based organizations do, but we're each more than our fraternal experience. I feel strongly that bringing structure, vision, and purpose to these groups as we implement the formal structure will help our alumni find joy in both their professional and fraternal lives, and where needed, bring their joy from one to the other. As for the remainder of the AEA Way, I think it's important to note that as a board, we'll support Dr. Rohrer's full vision. We'll each have our individual goals and objectives, as well as an overarching direction for the Alumni Association. So it'll be important that we each play our part and work together to shape those all into something that supports and propels that vision.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me and answer some questions. If anyone wants to reach out and connect with you, where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and by email at cacarpenter.kkpsio@gmail.com.
And lastly, do you have any final thoughts or comments for anyone listening right now?
I'm glad that you're here and that you're listening. Please listen to all of what our candidates have to say and feel free to reach out for conversations. We're here for you and to shape the Alumni Association into an organization that serves you and provides you with a full lifelong experience in Kappa Kappa Psi.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate it. This concludes the second episode of our 2025 AABOD candidate interviews. If you have any questions about the candidates or the election process, please visit the Elections tab on our website at kksiaa.org. A big thank you to Victoria Wilkinson for editing these podcast episodes weekly, ensuring our listeners enjoy the best conversations with each candidate. As always, we'd like to extend a special thanks to the National Alumni Association and Kappa Kappa Psi, National Honorary Band Fraternity, for making this podcast possible. We have two more episodes featuring the remaining candidates in the coming weeks, so be sure to tune in for all the important information that you need. Have a wonderful day, and as always, AEA.